Back with you on Connecticut Today for Friday, January 15th. A return call from Scott Dolch. Scott heads the Connecticut Restaurant Association, talking about what is going on at this moment for Connecticut restaurants, both big and small, during the coronavirus pandemic. Scott said there may be a bit of light at the end of a long tunnel. Checking in, as we are wanting to do every couple of months, with Scott Dolch from the Connecticut Restaurant Association to just see what he's hearing from his constituents. And we all see and know restaurants in our cities and towns who haven't been able to withstand either the full-on closures or the limitations put on them during COVID. In fact, I was talking about this in the front office of the radio station a couple of days ago with some of our salespeople, so we'll check in with Scott right now. Hey, Scott, Paul here again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm getting by. All is good. Knock on wood, hopefully, for you as well. But, Scott, what are you hearing from your membership, your members in the Connecticut Restaurant Association? And I don't think we've talked last time since, I guess, Governor Lamont promised some more economic aid, more grants, more loans to businesses, including some of your members. What are you hearing from in the field?
Yeah, no, since the last time we talked, Paul, I mean, you know, it was a lot of what-ifs, hoping, thought we'd get stuff done, but nothing was definitive, and that's changed over the last few weeks, you know, to help our industry specifically. I mean, the governor has come forward with $35 million and offering out, I believe, a little over 2,000 grants, between $10,000 and $30,000. I know about 60% of those our restaurants in our restaurant industry that have received those grants, the hardest hit, really small businesses across our state. Now is that, you know, that's one part of this, you know, support that is needed. I think the other thing that has happened is the federal government passed a stimulus package late in 2020 that really, I think, is going to, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's not going to save the industry fully, but it's an important step right now of us trying to survive this winter. And what that package includes is another round of Paycheck Protection Program. I know a lot of my members are anxious right now to work with their banks, and I believe the bank portals will open next week, and them applying for significant loans that are forgivable for full grants for dollars that are going to be substantial. And, you know, we are in the heart of, you know, January and February, some of the toughest months for restaurants in the Northeast, and at a 50% capacity and low consumer confidence, it's needed. So the state and the federal government have definitely stepped up at this time right now to help this industry. We obviously are asking and looking for more, and we're looking for other ways to support beyond the next few months. But at least since the last time we talked, having you know, the state and federal government with some stimulus packages are definitely a much better place than maybe where we were about 8 weeks ago.
Well, that's good to hear, Scott. Is there a sense, Scott, maybe among your organization and or your members, that, you know, we're before you know it, we'll be at the end of January, and then maybe, Scott, with the ongoing vaccination ramping up slowly as it is, and maybe another 8 or 10 weeks until some warmer weather, is there a sense, Scott, that maybe if we could just get past the next 2 or 2.5 months with the vaccinations, with the warmer weather, and with maybe getting back to more outdoor dining, that things will be on an upswing?
That's obviously the hope and the goal. I mean, I think, you know, we have a light, you know, at the end of the tunnel, being that this vaccine, even when we probably talked the vaccine, I don't think it had even been rolled out yet. And as we tried talking about, you know, going from, you know, to phase two or indoor dining and then to phase three in the fall, we still didn't have a vaccine at that point. So, yes, we have, you know, having the vaccine, working through with the administration, trying to see who's in this 1B, which I believe our industry is in, but when do we fall into that 1.3 million? But trying to get the most vulnerable vaccinated, which is the most important thing right now, because that has been the risk. We want to take care of the most vulnerable since this pandemic started. So that's the hope. I think that, you know, that's why these dollars were so vital right now, is that financial shot in the arm. As I talked to Senator Blumenthal yesterday, that's what this is right now, to get us to really the end of March and April, and hoping that the spring, you know, when vaccines are working and positivity rate is down, hospitalizations are down, and we can start to really open back up our doors and build back consumer confidence, because this is going to be a long road to recovery, you know, of having an industry being hit so hard for 10 plus months now, that to try to get them back on their feet and help, help all the other ancillary businesses that, that rely on restaurants as well.
Scott, hang on. I want to do a couple more minutes with you, so we'll be right back. Scott, hang on. Scott Dolch, Connecticut Restaurant Association, back with more from Scott. I want to ask him about liability protection and any efforts toward that when we come back right here. 3:36, it's a Friday, Connecticut Today. And we continue a couple more minutes here at 3:39, coming up on 3:40, 20 before 4. Scott Dolch, who runs the Connecticut Restaurant Association. As you might imagine, members all over the state, big and small, who have been really on the front lines. The one real industry that really has taken a huge hit on this COVID-19 pandemic thing. Scott, when we get this immunity out there, the herd immunity and the effectiveness of the vaccine really kicks in, and now all the scientists are saying, well, late summer, early fall, mid-fall, things will be a lot different. That's great. But there's always, Scott, in the discussion of these bills and stimulus packages and relief bills, there's always a question of liability protection, especially for indoor establishments like restaurants. The fact that how long or should we extend some protection for restaurant owners who may have an employee who said, listen, I caught COVID in your establishment, which technically, Scott, would be impossible, literally, most scientists say, to prove. So what are you hearing from your members, other people you talk to, maybe in other states, about the need, if they think so, if they need it, for some sort of liability protection until we really can get past this?
No, Paul, it's a great question. It's something we've been discussing since the pandemic really hit. I think it has been, we've had more discussions on a federal level. It's gone back and forth into the GOP down there on the stimulus package. I know nothing came through in this next round, but it's definitely a cause for concern for all of our businesses, trying to follow the guidelines. We've tried to work with the governor to make sure that our small businesses especially are protected. If as long as they're doing, I know the governor's made comments saying, but that's why we have these guidelines in place and they're following the guidelines and they're doing everything they can to protect their employees. And that's been our goal since the beginning of this. Public health is the number one priority for our industry and our association. And, we having to be closed for 2 months, opening outdoor dining, we put together the Connecticut Restaurant Promise. We work with restaurants when there are issues of possible COVID exposure for an employee. Maybe they have someone that's sick at home and what to do, and trying to educate them, because it is about mitigating risk. And I think our restaurants have done a phenomenal job and continue to do a phenomenal job of doing that. Obviously, we know it's community spread right now, to your point of, knowing where it was traced back to, how you received it, I think is already a little bit of the challenge from a legal side. But also, we still, though, need to make sure that businesses aren't targeted as long as they are following and have been following the rules that are there and working with their staffs and communicating. And that's really what I try to share every day with my as the head of the association, of talking to our owners and operators about the communication is key. There's a lot of protections out there to help the employees. If someone is sick, there's protections for the employer to make sure you have, the FFCRA, the dollars that, if you have to go out for quarantine because you've been in close contact, there's money there. There's money to protect and tax write-offs for the employer as well, to make sure that you're mitigating the risk as much as you can. But I think there's still more to be discussed as we go through this. But I continue even working with local public health departments and everything else. I give our restaurants a lot of credit, and that's shown by, in all the different reporting, and not just in Connecticut, but across the country, that our restaurants have continued to keep people safe. There is no COVID spread cases tied back to a restaurant, nothing in our state specifically, which has been the reason why I also think our governor has kept us open at 50% capacity since June. We haven't rolled back beyond that, even with the rising cases throughout the winter here. We continue to do everything that's asked, the PPP expenses, plexiglass to masks to gloves to sanitation. I know we lead in safety and sanitation, and we hope there's protections, to your point, to make sure our businesses, aren't worried about the future of them, and their employees, and making sure they're doing everything right moving forward to stay open and keep their businesses, help their business survive beyond the pandemic.
After, Scott, every bad episode in the country, be it war, be it politics, be it natural disasters or something like this, there's always things learned and even some good that comes out of it where people say, hey, okay, we're going to do that a different way now because of what we have just been through. And wow, look at this. This is a different avenue we never thought would work, and it does because we learned. How is your feel, your business or your members' businesses, how do you think they'll be affected by that once we clear this and there will be maybe some changes to, you know, what we thought was normal?
Yeah, no, it's a great way of thinking, Paul, of how this pandemic has changed our industry, which it has. I mean, there's always trends. There's always changes that are happening. But, you know, you got to look at the positives. I try to be as optimistic as I can in fighting for this industry every day. And, you know, I think the one thing that we take to heart is, you know, in Connecticut, we have a little over 70% of our restaurants are independently owned. Small mom and pop. They're your neighbors. They're your friends down the street that you know that run that restaurant or you grew up in or whatever that might be. And those stories have come to the forefront through this pandemic. And knowing, unfortunately, you know, with the adversity and with the despair and with the devastation of our industry has come the other side of that, of people realizing like, wow, like this is unique in Connecticut that we have these great, you know, great restaurants and caterers and private event venues that have been around decades. And you know, I was with Vinnie Carbone and Carbone's Prime yesterday, and he's a third generation of what Carbone's means up in Hartford. And, you know, it's making sure that we come through this together, and people are going to, like we talk all the time, you've had to pivot and adapt to survive in our industry. You've had to make the pivot, and you're going to continue to see pivot. You're going to see other trends, but nothing takes away from going out, having a great meal with, you know, with my wife or my family, you know, being able, we talk about the despair and divisiveness down in D.C. I was just talking with Senator Blumenthal yesterday, you know, going to a restaurant and having a sit down with maybe someone that doesn't have the same political views or ideology, but being able to break bread with them and have an open dialogue and conversation. And Vinny was talking about that with his dad and growing up in downtown Hartford as a staple of what Carbone's was. And hopefully we can get back to that. And I hope that that part of this is where we try to make these independents. We do everything we can to help them survive, and people continue to look at restaurants maybe a little bit differently and don't take for granted what we have and help these restaurants make it through.
Yes, great point to end on, Scott. Yeah, that restaurant down the corner, whether it's a five-star steak joint or just a little mom-and-pop greasy spoon that you go get a cup of coffee in, it's part of your life, our lives, everybody else's lives. Great point there. Scott Dolch from the Connecticut Restaurant Association. Scott, as always, thanks for the time. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch up. Be good.
Thanks, Paul. I really appreciate your guys' continued support.
Thanks, Scott. Be good. Scott Dolch, ladies and gentlemen, heads the Connecticut Restaurant Association. Yeah, we'll be through this. A year from now, we'll all be going out. More than likely, everybody will have a shot in their arm or two and a herd resistance, and we'll be going out to our favorite steak joint or our greasy spoon again, sitting next to each other, talking, not thinking twice about it. But think about how your little neighborhood place, like Scott said, has always been that place where on a Thursday or Friday or happy hour, if you do it once a week or once or every other week, it was just like, okay, screw what happened at work. I still hate the boss, but God, the steak here is great.